A few years ago, Pastor preached off this verse at the blowout, and it was a really good message. Proverbs 20, verse 4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." Some Christians just don't plow. Why? By reason of the cold. Maybe some are just inexperienced. If you are new and you're inexperienced, get together with an experienced Christian and go out and see what it's like and give it a try. My first mission trip, I went with Brother Darling. We were roommates, and I went with a very experienced man. And I've always looked up to him. And that was, I needed that. I mean, I don't know what that mission trip would have been like without Brother Dave as my roommate. But he showed me a lot of things on that trip. But maybe some people are just afraid and they're nervous. You know, it's normal to be nervous to go up to somebody. It's not normal to go out on a street corner and open your mouth and street preach or hold a sign. It's not normal, and we do it anyways. And that's what you need. You need to have the attitude of doing it anyways, because the fear of man bringeth a snare. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. If anyone here is thinking about street preaching for the first time, I suggest you should do it. Because I'll tell you more later. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but some, you know, why don't people plow? Why don't people plow? You know, and they just give up. Maybe they get tired of it. Maybe they just throw in the towel. I heard someone say once that I don't believe in visitation. I don't believe in knocking on the doors. And that man right there is a reason for visitation. Turner. He's here tonight because we knocked on his door. He was already saved, but he didn't have a church. That's proof right there that visitation works. Does anybody remember Janet Chester? She was found in visitation. You can come up with all kinds of stories on visitation. It doesn't always have no effect on people. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong." 1 Corinthians 16. Quit ye like men, be like a man. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Brian Darling was always an encouragement to me. He had a sticker on his car that said, "Real men love Jesus." And I like that. Proverb 13:4. I hope this is a help to you folks. Proverb 13:4. "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." You need to be diligent in your service for the Lord. It needs to be a constant effort. No idleness is allowed in this. You're not allowed to be idle, because then you're going to get slothful. Sluggard also means lazy. And can't be riding the fence. Riding the fence isn't going to get you by. Revelation 3. Revelation 3. You're living in the Laodicean period. Revelation 3, I'm going to read from 14 there. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth, out of my mouth." There's no riding the fence. You ever had lukewarm milk? Yuck. Maybe you'll like it. I don't know. I don't like lukewarm yogurt. That's gross. I have yogurt in my cooler at work, and if I don't eat it early in the day, it's not the same later. It's pretty clear, sluggard. Sluggard is not a good word. Another name that the Lord calls us. If you're not plowing, you're a sluggard. We've talked about having a purpose, and these are the end days, and it's not the time to be a sluggard. It's not the time to be lazy. And there are many Christians in general that don't plow. If you're not sowing the seed, the word of God, there's no harvest. I know it sounds pretty simple and obvious, but if you don't plant corn, it's not going to come up. If you don't witness to people, you're not going to win souls. If you don't cast the fishing rod into the lake, you're not going to catch a fish. It's pretty obvious. It's pretty simple. We need to wake up. There's no corn if you don't plow. A fourth point I'd like to talk about tonight is plowing. The answer to plow is to just be diligent. You know, maybe you don't see results all that often. I know we see lots of results in Malawi and places like Yucatan, Mexico. We see lots of results. But you don't see a lot of results here in the cities. It's not always about results, though. It's about doing God's work. Don't worry about what's going to happen. You might not ever see anything, but you don't know what somebody does with the gospel tract. We see people driving around in Mexico with the John Romans in their dashboard as a good luck charm. They'll get to it. I saw that in Juarez. One guy had three or four of them. He's going to get to it eventually. 1 Timothy 6 says, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:13 says, I give thee charge. God doesn't want you to just sit back. We need to exhort one another and encourage one another. Working together helps. Exhort one another daily. Hebrews 3:13. Turn over to Jude. Let me read a verse in Jude. Jude 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Exhort you. We need to exhort each other. It's not about seeing results. I used to live in a townhome before I got married to Renee, and I came back from street preaching one Friday, and the neighbor was out. They're Christians. They were, I don't know what kind of church they went to, but they were Christians, and I told them what I just went and did. He asked, what were you doing today? I was street preaching. And his first words were, did you see any results? Why? Why do you need to see results? You might have just edified yourself just by preaching the Word of God. Nobody has to hear you. You can help yourself. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. When someone asks you that question, was there any results? You can show them this. You might know where I'm going here. 1 Corinthians 3. This helps me because we know God takes care of it. Starting in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. You're not necessarily going to see results, but God will take care of it. God will take care of it. God gives the increase. Proverbs 21:25 says, it talks about refusing to labor, your hands refusing to labor. Don't stop plowing. Don't stop laboring. We're getting really close. You can almost see it. I mean, it's close. It's got to be. Every day it gets worse out there. And you know what's amazing about the Lord? He doesn't force us to do anything. It's not like you have to go out and street preach. You don't have to witness to someone. But the Bible says we should. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Are you pleasing the Lord? No, if you're not pleasing the Lord, who do you think you're pleasing? You're pleasing the devil. Romans 6:4 says that we should walk in newness of life. Romans 7:6 says we should serve. 7:4 says should bear fruit. You should. You should serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55:11. If you need encouragement and encouraging yourself in the Lord, read this verse. Memorize it. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, that's God, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God will take care of it. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Next thing I'd like to talk about is Proverbs 6, verse 9. My point here is sleeper. Proverbs 6, 9. If I can get there. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? You wonder when the sleeping Christians are going to awake and do something. When are they going to wake up? Daniel talked about this on Sunday night. Like I said, it made me nervous, but the Lord gave us both the idea. I got this idea 5-6 weeks ago. I talked to Daniel that night, and he got it just a few days earlier. I'm not saying I'm faster at getting it from God. I'm not saying that. It's just that the Lord gave us both the same thing. Proverbs 26, that sounded kind of awkwarder. Proverbs 26, verse 14. This is another verse that I think about. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. You open and close a door, it doesn't go anywhere. You turn back and forth in your bed, you're not going anywhere, you're staying in bed. You're sleeping. You're not doing anything. You're standing around, staying in your comfy zone. Not redeeming the time, and the time is short. You're wasting time by not doing anything for Jesus Christ. Proverbs 20:13 says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes. That doesn't say you can't take a nap. That's not what that means. Don't be a sleeper. Don't sleep in your service for Jesus Christ. Wake up. You know who fall asleep? Go over to John 20. As I was putting this message together, I'd get a little something here every day as it was coming, and it was just weird. But in John 20, you have Thomas. I'll start in verse 19. I want you to follow along here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. What a moment. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And this is the verse that gets me. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. It doesn't say, and somebody can show me later, it doesn't say where Thomas was, just that he wasn't there. What a thing to miss. Man, he didn't have a television. What was he doing? Did he not get the memo? I was thinking about this today. Maybe they all sent a memo out, and his got caught in a crack, and he didn't got his. There's a reason the Lord puts this in the Bible, is to show us that we're more blessed than Thomas, because Thomas wanted to see to believe. It says in verse 29, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Everyone here that's saved is more blessed than Thomas. You haven't seen Jesus Christ. Thomas had to see him to believe, and he declared him Lord and God. I wonder where Thomas was. I mean, of all the things to miss when Jesus shows up after he had been risen from the dead, I would have wanted to have been there. I mean, come on. He was caught sleeping, lollygagging around somewhere maybe. He wasn't where he should have been, like David. You ever miss out on something? I mean, sure, we miss things here and there. If Jesus Christ was going to come in here in about 10 minutes, would you want to be here? Of course you would. Don't lollygag. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. You don't want to miss out. Serve Jesus Christ, and it's a blessing to see what things happen. Don't be a sleeper. It's time to wake up. You don't want to miss out on serving the Lord. My final point here tonight is potential. What is your potential? The Bible says that when you get saved, you're a son of God. John 1:12. You're a servant of God. Luke 14:23. Go out and compel them to come in, that the house may be filled. You're not supposed to be a slothful sluggard sleeping around, sleeping, not doing anything. Paul, James, Jude, Peter, and others introduce themselves in their books as a servant of Jesus Christ. You're a servant of Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador. You are more than what the Pope is. The Pope thinks he's an ambassador. He thinks he's the representative of Jesus Christ on earth. But no, he's not. You are. You know more than that guy does. That's for sure. When Paul was getting saved, when he fell down on his knees, he asked the Lord a question. What wilt thou have me to do? You need to get down on your knees and you need to ask God, what will you have me to do? I know a lot of us do a lot of things for Jesus Christ. We're busy. I know that. But we need to pick it up. We need to ask the Lord, what else? What else can we do? What else can I do? He'll give you a purpose. He will answer that prayer. He wants to use you because you should be serving him. If you don't serve him, you know, there's no limit to your potential. Turn over to Exodus 4 real quick. Exodus 4. You don't know what your potential is until you start looking for it. You never know how far you can actually go and what you can do for Jesus Christ. Just a simple verse in Exodus 4, verse 10. This is Moses. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. He didn't think he could do the job. Moses ended up doing a lot. He sure did. We all know what he ended up doing. The Lord was with Moses, and he helped him and guided him, even though he didn't think he could do it. So if you're sitting here tonight and you want to do more for Jesus Christ, you can do it. Just ask the Lord what he'd have you to do. It might be on a mission trip. It might be writing a letter to somebody that you haven't seen in a while. When have we ever done that anymore? Get out a piece of paper and a pen or pencil and write a letter to an old friend, an old high school friend, or an old relative. Turn the TV off, shut your phone off, and write a letter. Get one of these and one of these and a stamp. You can write a letter. You know why it's better? Because it's personal. It's more personal. Jesus Christ personally died for you. You know that. But write a personal letter to someone. I'm guilty of not doing that enough, that's for sure. I'll type one. Write one. Write it in handwriting. Cursive. Make it look good. I don't know what the Lord can do for you or will, but each of us needs to pursue our potential. In closing here tonight, we have a purpose, folks. We have a purpose to plow and to search out our potential. Somewhere, somehow, we can find that. Don't be a sluggard. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy. Awake out of sleep. And your potential, you know, one more illustration here tonight is when I first came to this church 15 years ago, I had no idea that I would be on the street preaching. I didn't know much. I didn't even have a Bible that I was reading. I was saved. I had been living a normal life for 5 years. I was wasting time as a Christian. And then a couple of years go by, and the Lord puts it on my heart. I started going with a couple of guys, Brother Caravu, Brother Steve Lethert was here. They took me out street preaching and passing out tracts. And I ended up street preaching. I remember the day it was. It was a blessing, and you can do it. I didn't think I was able to do that. You will be nervous. That's a guarantee. You'll get over it, though. We need to stay busy for the Lord, folks. Time is short. We need to keep at it, and he is coming back real soon. Daniel quoted this the other night, Romans 13:11. Many of you know it. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. To get that verse from this pulpit twice in 1 week means something. And I was talking to a friend this morning, and it's like a 1-2 punch. It's like you get it twice. You know, the old Rocky movies? He was a lefty, but he hit Apollo like this and then gave him the old uppercut, knocked him down. That's kind of like what we got here this week. You know, it's been a blessing with all these guys standing in. I've gotten a blessing from each one of them. And I appreciate you listening to me tonight, and I hope this was a blessing. We do need to serve the Lord more, I know we all do, but we need to serve more, and we need to get up and do it. All right, let's